Shown. Translation. Prajapati Daksha said, "Alas, Narada Muni, you wear the dress of a saintly person, but you are not actually a saint. Indeed, although I am now in Grihastha life, I am a saintly person. By showing my sons the path of renunciation, you have done me an abominable injustice." Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Sanyasira alpa chitra sarveloke gaya." Die haben ja gar keinen englischen Kanto, die Übersetzergruppe. Ach so. In society one will find many sannyasis, vanaprastas, grihastas and brahmacharis, but if all of them properly live in accordance with their duties, they are understood to be sadhus. Prajapati Daksha was certainly a sadhu because he had executed such great austerities that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, had appeared before him. Nevertheless, he had a fault-finding mentality. He improperly thought Narada Muni to be asadhu, or non-saintly, because Narada had foiled his intentions. Desiring to train his sons to become grihasthas, fully equipped with knowledge, Daksha had sent them to execute austerities by Narayana Saras. Narada Muni, however, taking advantage of their highly elevated position in austerity, instructed them to become Vaishnavas in the renounced order. This is the duty of Narada Muni and his followers. They must show everyone the path of renouncing this material world and returning home back to Godhead. Prajapati Daksha, however, could not see the exaltedness of the duties Narada Muni performed in relation to his sons. Unable to appreciate Narada Muni's behavior, Daksha accused Narada of being asaru. Asaru means not saintly. The words Bhikshu Marga, the path of the renounced order, are very significant in this regard. A sannyasi is called Tridandi Bhikshu because his duty is to beg alms from the homes of grihasthas and to give the grihasthas spiritual instructions. A sannyasi is allowed to beg from door to door, but a grihastha cannot do so. Grihasthas may earn their living according to the four divisions of spiritual life. A brahmana grihastha may earn his livelihood by becoming a learned scholar and teaching people in general how to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He may also assume the duty of worship himself. Therefore, it is said that only brahmanas may engage in deity worship, and they may accept prasad as prasad, whatever people offer to the deity. Although a brahmana may sometimes accept charity, it is not for his personal maintenance, but for the worship of the deity. Thus a brahmana does not stock anything for his future use. Similarly, Kshatriyas may collect taxes from the citizens, and they must also protect the citizens, enforce rules and regulations, and maintain law and order. Vaishyas should earn their livelihood through agriculture and cow protection. Shudras should maintain their livelihood by serving the three higher classes. Unless one becomes a brahmana, one cannot take sannyas. Sannyasis and brahmacharis may beg alms door to door, but a grihastha cannot. Prajapati Daksha condemned Narada Muni because Narada, a brahmachari who could beg from door to door, had made sannyasis of Daksha's sons, who were being trained to be grihasthas. Daksha was extremely angry at Narada because he thought that Narada had done him a great injustice. According to Daksha's opinion, Narada Muni had misled Daksha's inexperienced sons. Asat vakara yabakanam. Daksha regarded his sons as innocent boys who had been misled when Narada showed them the renounced order of life. Because of all these considerations, Prajapati Daksha charged that Narada Muni was a sadhu and should not have adopted the dress of a sadhu. Sometimes a saintly person is misunderstood by grihasthas, especially when he instructs their young sons to accept Krishna consciousness. Generally, a grihastha thinks that unless one enters grihastha life, he cannot properly enter the renounced order. I think if we would ask our grihastha devotees, they would also think this. Generally, a grihastha thinks that unless one enters grihastha life, he cannot properly enter the renounced order. I've heard this also from many of our grihasthas, and there is certainly truth in it. But this is not Srila Prabhupada's point. He says, if a young man immediately adopts the path of the renounced order in accordance with the instructions of Narada or a member of his disciplic succession, his parents become very angry. Ooh, my parents became so angry when they heard that I had taken to sannyas. They know that what sannyas means, and they were very angry. Even before I took sannyas, I didn't tell them, but someone told them. Vaishnavas who were traveling through knew about this, and they told them. And then my father made this last attempt. He said, don't be extreme. Just be patient. We have this house for you. You take this house, you practice Krishna consciousness at home. No strings attached. Also alles ohne Bedingungen. And then after a while you may take sannyas. First you give us a grandson, then you may take sannyas. No problem. But we didn't do this. The same phenomenon is occurring in our Krishna consciousness movement, because we are instructing all the young boys in the Western countries to follow the path of renunciation. We allow grihastha life, but a grihastha also follows the path of renunciation. Even a grihastha has to give up so many bad habits that his parents think his life has been practically destroyed. We allow no meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, and no intoxication, and consequently, the parents wonder how, if there are so many no's, one's life can be positive. In the Western countries, especially the four prohibited activities practically constitute the life and soul of the modern population. Therefore, parents sometimes dislike our movement, just as Prajapati Daksha disliked the activities of Narada and accused Narada of dishonesty. Nevertheless, although parents may be angry at us, we must perform our duties without hesitation, because we are in the disciplic succession from Narada Muni. People addicted to household life wonder how one can give up the enjoyment of grihastha life, which is a concession for sex enjoyment, simply to become a mendicant in Krishna consciousness. They do not know that the householder's concession for sex life cannot be regulated unless one accepts the life of a mendicant. Once again, this is a very subtle point. People addicted to householder life wonder how one can give up the enjoyment of grihastha life, which is a concession for sex enjoyment, simply to become a mendicant in Krishna consciousness. They do not know that the householder's concession for sex life cannot be regulated unless one accepts the life of a mendicant. This is a question of Sri Vishnupata, Srila Prabhupada, once he asked, but doesn't one lose the desire for enjoyment when one enters the Grihastha life? Doesn't this become purified? Prabhupada said, no. This is what he says also. They do not know that the householder's concession for sex life cannot be regulated unless one accepts the life of a mendicant. So the Vedic civilization therefore enjoins that at the end of one's 50th year one must give up householder life. This is compulsory. However, because modern civilization is misled, householders want to remain in family life until death, and therefore they are suffering. In such cases, the disciples of Narada Muni advise all the members of the younger generation to join the Krishna consciousness movement immediately. There's nothing wrong in this. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyate Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Yadvaita Gadadha Vibhavati Gauravakkavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This text describes an eternal conflict between the non-devotees and the devotees. The non-devotees can never actually appreciate devotees because they do not measure reality with the same parameters. The parameter of a devotee as a mashtab of a devotee is that this life is only temporary, but it offers a great opportunity to the soul to become Krishna consciousness. The non-devotee prefers not to think of death, and he therefore thinks that okay, I'm here, that's the only reality, my senses are here, the objects of the senses are there. Let me become successful as a human being by enjoying as much as possible. So these are totally different parameters, maßstäbe. And unless these maßstäbe are not corrected or are not made equal, it is... there will be always a difference. This is very important. On this principle, a major part of my lecture will be rested. So I want to like to I would like to give an example for what I'm going to for all of this. See, in human society there are different parameters, and therefore there are entirely different reactions to the same thing. For instance, let us say a devotee and a non-devotee, they come into a hotel, and the non-devotee comments, "Oh, what nice food, they served us ox meat." Steak, I think ox meat is steak. They served a steak. Isn't it nice? He asked his neighbor, the devotee. And the devotee says, no, it's not nice. it's murder. So there is disagreement there. Why? Because different parameters are applied. Now, imagine the non-devotee would say 2 plus 2 equals 4. Is that correct? And the devotee would say, yes, it is correct. Because here the parameters are the same. All human quarrels and disagreement come about because different parameters are used in order to measure what should be done, what should not be done, what should be said, what should not be said. Here, for instance, Daksha is extremely angry about something which Narada Muni finds perfectly all right. Daksha is angry because he wanted his sons to become householders who would enlarge the dynasty. He thought it's good to do this. Narada Muni, however, totally crisscrossed the plans of Daksha by making them all sannyasis, 10,000 sannyasis in one of einen Schlag. That was the whole conflict. They were measuring with different parameters. Now, this is a great, can create problems. You have to remember Prabhupada's, he says here that what Daksha said, that he is a saint, is correct. Here in the verse, Daksha says, although I am now in grihastha life, I am a saintly person. And you are unsaintly. Daksha, we hear this from the sixth canto, had seen the Supreme Personality of Godhead who had appeared before him. This is not an easy thing, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears before a soul. He had prayed the Hansa Guya prayers, beautiful prayers, and at the end, I want to read to you how the Lord appeared to him and blessed him, actually. Yeah. Yeah. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who is extremely affectionate to his devotees, was very pleased by the prayers offered to Daksha, and thus he appeared at that holy place known as Agamashana. The Lord's lotus feet rested on the shoulders of his carrier Garuda, and he appeared with 8 long, mighty, very beautiful arms. Imagine 8 arms. In his hands he held a disc, conchal, sword, shield, arrow, bow, rope, and club. In each hand a different weapon, all brilliantly shining. And we übersetzen with 6:4:39. His garments were yellow, and his bodily hue deep bluish. His eyes and face were very cheerful, and from his neck to his feet hung a long garland of flowers. His chest was decorated with a Kostuba jewel and the mark of Srivatsa. On his head was a gorgeous round helmet, and his ears were decorated with earrings resembling sharks. Sharks! All these ornaments were uncommonly beautiful. The Lord wore a golden belt on his waist, bracelets on his arms, rings on his fingers, and anchor bells on his feet. Thus decorated by various ornaments, Lord Hari, who is attractive to all the living entities of the three worlds, is known as Purushottam, the best personality. He was accompanied by great devotees like Narada, Nanda, and all the principal demigods, led by the heavenly king Indra and the residents of various upper planetary systems, such as Siddhaloka, Gandharvaloka, and Charanaloka. Situated on both sides of the Lord and behind him as well, these devotees offered him prayers continuously. Please imagine, Daksha had seen God. And the devotees who offered him prayers, he saw the Kaustubha Mani, the jewel on the Lord's chest. Imagine. He had a vision of the kingdom of God. He was overwhelmed. It says, as rivers are filled by water flowing from a mountain, all of Daksha's senses were filled with pleasure. And so on. And then Krishna had spoken to him, the Lord has spoken to him. My desire also is that everyone within this world be happy. Oh, ein Glück. I'm therefore very pleased with you because you are endeavoring to fulfill my desire for the welfare of the entire world. You have performed extreme austerities for the welfare of the world. And you see, my dear Brahmana, austerity in the form of meditation is my heart. Vedic knowledge in the form of hymns and mantras constitute my body. And spiritual activities and ecstatic emotions are my actual form. The ritualistic ceremonies and sacrifices, when properly conducted, are the various limbs of my body. The unseen good fortune proceeding from pious or spiritual activities constitutes my mind. And the demigods who execute my orders in various departments are my life and soul. Jai. And he says many things, Krishna. And he actually gives Daksha an order. Now unite in sexual life as man and woman. And in this way, by sexual intercourse, you will be able to beget hundreds of children in the womb of this girl. He gave him a wife to increase the population. So, in other words, Daksha had seen the Lord and had been given an order by the Lord. He was perfectly situated. He was saintly. Yes. It's not that this is pure polemics where he says, I am saintly, I am a saint. It is a fact. He is properly situated in his ashram and has an order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What, therefore, was the reason that Daksha got in so much trouble that later his head was cut off and he got the head of a goat? What was the thing? What was wrong in him? He was very elevated. Yes. He had a fault-finding mentality, Prabhupada describes here. And this means he committed offenses. Here. Nevertheless, here, he had a fault-finding mentality. And this is something which now is a very, very important subject matter for devotees to understand. You may be very advanced in your Krishna consciousness, but if there is a fault-finding mentality haunting the heart, which drives you to commit Vaishnava aparad, then even if you have reached the stage of bhava, where the Lord appears, I can't say that this was, I do not know if this was sustained, stage of daksha. I suppose there must have been something on this, but I can't say, it may be not. But just to say, even if you have a state where the Lord appears, if this offense stays on, then this is what can throw you down completely. In Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur treats this. There are different kinds of offenses, and one type of offenses is sinful activities, you know, meat eating and illicit sex, intoxication, and so on. And these offenses are eradicated at Bhajana Kriya. Hubi, Bhajana Kriya, that is when one commits, when one does devotional activities, like all of us. We are initiated into devotional activities. Then the sinful activities, they disappear. There may be a desire still in the heart, but the external manifestation disappears. However, aparads or Vaishnava aparad, the offense against devotees, that does not disappear when you are on the Bhajana Kriya state. It can continue even if you are steady in your practice of devotional service, and it can continue even up to bhava when you have a revelation of the Supreme Lord. It still lingers on. The example has been given of when you have a kerosene lamp. Steht ihr das? Kerosin, Petroleum Lampe. They have a very aufdringlich and a very aggressive smell. Now if you have this kerosene lamp in a room, the whole room will smell like kerosene. And even if you take the kerosene lamp out, there's still the smell. Those of you who have visited the festival have made this experience. The rooms which you are supplied with in Shida Mayapur, often, you know, in these rooms there's a power cut, and they have to use a kerosene lamp to find the different things which are in the room. So the smell of kerosene is there in India like the smell of Kölnisches Wasser, you know, some kind of perfume is there in Germany. You find it very often. So offenses can linger on a very high state in spiritual life. Offenses against Vaishnavas, and they are very strong and can throw them down. So it's interesting to, in Prabhupada's purport, he gives us an idea of how these offenses can, how it can be that we commit such offenses. One reason is we have our plans. And if we see that there is a devotee who does not really fit into our plans, who does something totally different, or is just of a different mentality, then who? Sometimes one becomes angry at Vaishnava and therefore commits this offense, first in thoughts, then in words, and one might even do it in action. So this is a very serious point, and we learn in this verse how even the qualified daksha condemned the great sage Narada Muni because of this anatta which was still in his heart. That's, if I would start another point now, this is the conclusion of the point. Maybe you have some questions regarding all of this. Jürgen? Am I right in assuming that once this offense is under control, Vaishnava Aparad, all others are under control? Because it's the most difficult one. No, I've never heard this being said. But if you do have this under control, you will make quick advancement in Krishna consciousness, because the Lord is very pleased if you have a service attitude towards Vaishnavas. This is how one starts his process in devotional service, to serve other Vaishnavas. And it is, how do you say, it is obstructed, of course, if one has an bad feeling towards devotees. I will repeat your question, because the devotees who listen to tapes will be interested. Is it correct to say I have a bad habit? I cannot keep the four rules and regulations, but by performing devotional service, all these bad habits will be eradicated. This is an interesting question. It is only possible to overcome bad habits by advancement in Krishna consciousness. It's only possible. But if you think you can, you just go on and wait for the glorious day when the bad habit disappears without making a great endeavor, then that is an offense which blocks your progress in devotional life. This is the greatest obstacle for in chanting the holy name, but also in performing seva, service. The greatest obstacle, the most grievous thing, is if you think I'm chanting, and I'm simultaneously doing the sinful activity, and it will, no harm, the chanting will eradicate everything. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, analyzes, that because most of the religious people in this age of quarrel think in terms of this mentality, they don't advance in their spiritual lives. Have you ever seen Bhagavad Dharma? The Christians are not advancing. It's dramatic. Something must be wrong there. Jesus is certainly empowered by the Supreme Lord to preach religious principles, but it doesn't work out. Something in the modern times is just utterly wrong. Or the Muslims also. There is no kindness to living entities manifesting, one of the symptoms of religious lives. Four principles of religious life, which I think every religious person in the world will agree, that one of them is kindness to other living entities. Barmherzigkeit, I wanted to say. Mercy, yes, kindness to others. It just doesn't work out. What is there? The reason Bhaktivinoda Thakur analyzes they can't make advancement is because they think, oh, I'm a religious man, I'm a Muslim, or I'm a Christian, or I'm a Hindu. Now, Nach mir die Sintflut. Now I can do whatever I want. And this is an offense, and therefore they cannot advance. So if someone thinks, well, I have this habit, I was born in the family of smokers, let me continue to smoke, and perform service, and we'll go. This is not good. We must endeavor on our own, from our own side, to stop that particular habit, whatever it may be. Happen. When the Lord appeared before Dhruva Maharaj, he put the conchal on his head and all the material desires disappeared from the heart. When Maharaj Daksha had a revelation of Krishna, not all the material desires disappeared from the heart. How did this happen? How was this so? Now, we hear in the scriptures that great devotees like Lord Brahma, by being in contact with the material energy, become again covered to some degree. And you hear at the beginning of creation Brahma praying for protection to Krishna. He says, my dear Lord, if I'm in contact with all this sinful mentalities, he has to give sinful people a body which fits to their desires from the 8400. Let me not say sinful, let me say he has to give the souls according to their desires to enjoy material bodies out of 8,400,000 forms. So he prays to not become infected in this process. There's a danger, in other words. And Prabhupada says, anyone who does missionary work in this movement for Krishna consciousness must similarly pray to not become infected by the mentalities of the people he associates with. I have to say, tell to you something very, because you asked. I was thinking about this in Nish and in Beograd. We had again our very nice preaching programs. In Beograd, we had over 4,000 people. We had a hydraulic stage. Do you know what a hydraulic stage is? It moves. And the people, we started after our bhajan and lecture. We started with a very nice part where we had a ballet dancer who was coming from a cloud of, out of a cloud of fog, and diese kann ja so Nebeleffekte auf der Bühne machen. It's coming out, was so, and the song was Govinda, very peaceful, Aripusham Tamaham Bajami, and the Serbian people started to cry. It was so melodious. And then the music picked up, as you know, and it became quite vital, and a lot of dancing was there. I was dancing on the stage and encouraging all the people to dance and sing loudly. And I was looking, and we attract in Serbia, and you should, and also Croatia, all kinds of people, and very not just burnt out people, but there you will find they go there with good dress, the best dressed, like they go to an evening concert, a cultural forum. We are advertised in the TV many times as a culture. This is a cultural program, and they go with a lot of schminke. The ladies with schminke, and the men are nicely kempt, and so on and so forth. And then they really dance. And I was just. Then there was a man and a woman, and they were embracing while they were dancing. They didn't get it right. They had came after the lecture, I suppose. I was just there and seeing, and I was thinking, oh, this place is not a place for a sannyasi. I was thinking like this as I was dancing and encouraging. And then the next thing I saw was a total Maya Devi just going, you know, like in a Beatle concert or something. And I was again thinking, well, this is not usual. Sannyasi should not be in such a situation. And I was thinking for a while. I thought, I can understand. Lord Brahma prayed that in association with these people, he would not get wouldn't get infected. I was also praying to the Lord, please help me that when I'm doing this preaching, which is unusual, it is something we only can do in this age, where people need strong, where we need to go to the platform of the people to really bring it to them. And please help me to not become infected. So you have to understand, Daksha was like, he was, the Lord said to him, have sex life, create the whole universe. You know, it was quite an extraordinary order, isn't it? And he also must have gotten a little attached while he was doing it. He had his children, and you do not have children, but if children means you want to have plans for them at one stage, and if they turn totally different, that's quite hard. Imagine you would have a child, and one day the child comes with green head. Hari Bol Janavi, how are you? I'm a punk now. You would feel, oh, this is not very good. He should have been working in the prasadam factory with Rasa Prada by now. This would be, it's hard, you know. Imagine all of a sudden Andal comes with violet hair. Then we all would have to preach to Lalita to not be attached. So he got attached, and that's not that. I think we can understand. I know Andal will not do this, so therefore I gave the example. Yes, Maravi. Must be. He saw the Lord. Yes. Why? Well, the answer is given. Narada Muni crossed his plans. He must be very careful with planning. It never works out like the way we plan it. resolution is, yes, we do have to plan for the service of the Lord, otherwise nothing gets done. But then we have to understand, we shouldn't be too attached to the outcome of the plan. We should understand it's up to Krishna what comes out. We must make some sort of plan as we are living in the world. But if it doesn't come out the way, shouldn't be attached. Had this nice realization yesterday. We brought Danuda Swami to the airport, and then he, something was wrong with his ticket, isn't it? They wouldn't even accept his luggage. They said, we have no seat for you. And I know that he had a plan in New York. Many devotees were waiting for him, and all his, you know, all the shelter and the 108 group. They were waiting for him there on the airport, and many things they were arranged, and he also wanted to see all the devotees. So I asked him, how do you feel about this, Maharaj? You might not get on the plane. They might have been so greedy that they have booked all the seats in the plane, and that's why they couldn't give you a seat. Sometimes this happens. And then he said something which I thought was very nice. You know, I had this realization in Bombay. He told about this in the lecture. This time I want to at least theoretically practice to not be attached. If I can't go on that flight, what can I do? Then I go back to Heidelberg and see the and have a wonderful time in Heidelberg, preaching to the devotees. And it came from the heart. I think so. I know him for some time. Yeah, this is what we learn from older devotees, to make plans but not become attached to the plans. It's very difficult, isn't it? You may make plans for your life, and you may, yes, do everything so that the plans come out, and then all of a sudden it doesn't work out the way it was planned. Then to be detached is difficult. But we have to learn this. This is a reality of life. We make plans and they don't come out. Okay? Mm-hmm. I was also wondering when I spoke about it, yes. I must tell you honestly, I do not 100% know. In the fourth canto, this is described. Now we are in the sixth canto. But the Bhagavatam doesn't go always in a historical progression. Well, in the fourth canto, yes, he was again involved in an offense. He had offended Shiva. Well, here he was very envious at Lord Shiva. He made a serious apparat against Shiva, and this apparat came also from the fault-finding mentality. I mean, you don't make an offense against a Vaishnava if you think everything is wonderful about him. Yes? Same thing. And there it is especially mentioned, he did this offense because he was attracted to sex life, very attached to sex life. He had material desires, material plans. Ooh. Daksha, what a heavy life. Imagine you get a goat head. You come here next morning with a goat head. What everyone would say. we could earn a lot of Lakshmi, actually. We would send you down on the stage and invite, and everyone would have to pay 10 marks, and you would speak to them Krishna consciousness. I am a sinful soul. That's it. Yeah. Let us not get paranoid. It's a very good question. If we start to think, oh, doing here something, maybe I did this. Oh, it's bound to happen in social, on the social platform, that you sometimes hurt people. I am aware that I do this all the time without really wanting it, because I do have such a strong nature, and not everyone is in on my nature. I became aware of this. It is paining me very much. No, my strong nature sometimes hurts devotees, and I do not want this. I really do not want this. I feel very sad when I hear, oh, you said in the lecture. For instance, what I said, you cannot say in a lecture about person, individual persons, like said, imagine the daughter of Lalita would become a punk, you know. This you cannot do, because you might hurt the mother by saying such a thing. Because maybe there's something, anyways, I can't even speak about it now. So all this is bound to happen by your nature, that you sometimes do something. You don't mean it, but it is because people are people, aufgenommen, perceived in a way which you don't mean it. So all you can really do, if you want to change this, it's very difficult, because you have your nature. The only way you can change it is by adopting an attitude of service towards Vaishnava. Vas. You have to think, I want to serve all the Vaishnavas. And once you have this mood, you will always please Vaishnavas and help them. Even if you have a different nature, you will most probably have the sensitivity to know what to not say or what to not do. So let us not now think, this offense, did I do their offense? We can get lost in this. Let us avoid the gross thing, like speaking bad about Vaishnavas, or you know, being impolite towards devotees, or whatever the gross thing. And let us all adopt an attitude of humble service towards Vaishnavas. And there is a purport about this, which is so wonderful. I read it yesterday. I don't know where the purport is right now, but I can post it on the blackboard. It's so good. You won't believe you are. I mean, it's so good about how serving Vaishnavas and the need to serve Vaishnavas. Prabhupada says, we have to appreciate each other's service. It's about this. So are we giving rid of if there were any offended? Yes. No, just develop an attitude of service. And if you feel you have a relationship with a devotee that he is not very pleased with you, then you might ask him, have I done something? Please tell me I'm helpless, I cannot, it seems you're not so pleased to me, then when the Vaishnava gives you an advice, you follow this. Gaugapa. This is the last question, by the way. Or you had also a question, right? Shown for by, good. Yeah. Ah, the human psychology is very deep. Gaugapa sagt, wenn wir in Ordnungsfimmel kriegen, also wenn wir ordentlich, we become orderly, we tend to see the disorder in others more than before. Yes, because we become more aware of the need to be orderly. Well, and then we tend to criticize them. I remember in my own life when I was in Schloss Rettershof, I became aware how important it is to rise very early. And I was rising very, very, I was rising early and being there for the whole morning program. This is what I like to do in my life still. It is Prabhupada's instructions. But when I became aware of this, I saw so many sleeping bodies in Schloss Rennershof. I remember I became aware, oh, everyone is sleeping. At that time I became a little angry at devotees who were not coming to the morning programs. I could not really tolerate this, and I was, you're not coming, you're just sleeping. Have you been born to sleep or what? And so on. And then I felt very bad. And I asked all the devotees. And they said, well, sometimes devotees cannot come to the morning program because they worked so hard and they are tired. They need a little extra sleep. So this helped me a lot, just to understand that sometimes devotees can't come because of that. Another thing is they may suffer. They may not feel spiritually enlivened in their lives. And therefore, they might feel they don't have the strength. It requires a mental strength to get up early in the morning. And maybe they are not spiritually enlivened enough. So one can help the devotee. When he is tired, then he has to take some extra rest. So in the same way, when he's not so orderly. Sure. He may be covered a little bit by the modes. Or it's just his name. Or he has too much to do. He doesn't have the time to think. And you can maybe preach to him, and not preach, but tell him, you know, I make an interesting experience in my life. I'm trying to be orderly now. And it helps to clarify the thought. It's always a mess around you. You can't work properly. Like this, try to help. That's all I can say to this. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gaura Nitai ki jai, Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.